Sure. Thank you, Dori. Call to order this meeting, this hybrid meeting of the Clallam County Public Utility District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. Do we have any first order of business as public comments? Do we have any agenda-specific comments?
Real quick, Jim, we received three written comments. One was from Pamela Caldwell and Richard DeBusman, both submitted comments, and those were included in the board packet. However, after the board packet went out, we also received a comment from Christine Reed, and that was sent to all three commissioners. So that wasn't in the board packet, but you all three have it. Okay.
So we're not going to read the letter itself.
No, I'm just making you aware that you received those.
Can you somehow characterize the nature of the comment? Does it have to do with one of the things we were...
Yeah, so the comment from Pamela Caldwell encouraged the commissioners to keep the resolution supporting the Snake River Dams. And Richard DeBusman's comment was asking the commission to rescind the resolution supporting the Snake River Dams. And then Christine Reed's comment had to do with inappropriate use of district facilities to further the personal agenda of a commissioner. And that was the one that was not in the board packet but was sent to all three commissioners.
Okay, thanks. All right, next, do I have a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda is therefore approved. Okay, business items.
Were there any agenda revisions?
Agenda revision is at E.
Yeah, we do have an agenda revision today. We're going to add item E under business items, and it is a follow-up discussion regarding Commissioner Waddell's presentation from February 21st on the Lower Snake River Dams.
Okay, so we'll get to that after the business items, Ken.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of resolution 2260-23, we have Travis is going to give us an explanation here.
Afternoon, prisoners. I'm Travis. I'm the Water Wastewater Supervisor here at the PUD. We're asking for a motion, second, and a vote to approve resolution 2260-23, an update to the deposits and charges and electric line extension unit costs. Generally, we present an update once a year or so or as needed when there's substantial changes in labor or material costs. In recent years, it seems like it's been necessary to update these costs more frequently. I think we might have brought three updates to the board last year. Included in this resolution are actually two updates, one to take effect March 1st and one to take effect May 1st. In your board packet, there's a redline version of the current documents, the proposed changes that would take effect March 1st, followed by a clean version, and then the same thing for the version that would take effect in May. These costs are pretty much one-time charges and fees that are assessed when there's a change in a customer's account, such as a connect, a reconnect, a transfer to a new location, or new construction that would be completed, like a transformer, new electric service, new water service. These charges are basically being updated from the previous schedule that was approved by the board to reflect current labor rates, proposed labor rates for May, or I should say proposed, and if labor rates will be in May, and then the current material costs. We completed this update kind of jointly between the water department, electric department, and the customer service department. Shanda and Xanthius have joined me if you have specific questions related to electric costs or customer service costs. And, of course, I'm happy to answer costs regarding water as well. So with that, staff requests a motion, second, and vote to approve Resolution 2260-23, which would establish the current schedules of deposits and charges, line extension unit prices, and then rescind the previous resolution 2241-22.
Okay, thanks, Travis. Do I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2260-23, establishing the current schedule of deposits and charges and electrical line extension unit prices, or some discussion?
Moved as presented, or moved to approve as presented.
Move to approve. Okay. All in favor of Resolution 22?
Before we vote on it, I just had a quick question for Travis.
Yes.
Any sign that material costs are leveling out or stabilizing?
Not on our side. We've seen pretty significant cost increases with anything, especially related to brass.
Right.
We use a lot of brass parts and water services, meter setters, that sort of thing. And both material costs and lead times seem like they're kind of – actually, let me rephrase that. Material costs seem to be going up. Lead times have kind of plateaued a little bit, and we're starting to see a little bit more reliable lead times, even if they are several weeks out.
We might see additional increases before the year's out.
It's very possible. Actually, I can speak to that. You probably will see me up here again sometime before the end of the year because water is currently undergoing a cost of service study. Traditionally, we include in this document the capital facilities charge that water assesses to new water connections. We did not make an update to those in this document, you'll notice, because we are currently engaged in that cost of service study. So when that study is complete and we have updated costs for that, we'll probably have to bring another document to the board just updating that section for those charges after the cost of service study.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All in favor of Resolution 2260-23?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Resolution 2260-23, establishing the current schedule of deposits and charges and electric line extension unit prices, is approved. Okay, do I have a motion for to support Resolution 2261-23, establishing titles and monthly salary ranges for staff employees? Jamie, you're going to – there you are.
Yes, I have some information for you guys. So good afternoon. I have Resolution 2261-23 here for your consideration. This is just some housekeeping to the titles and monthly salary ranges for our staff employees. The first is adding the position Utility Land Surveyor to Range 21. This position was previously in our collective bargaining agreement, titled as a Utility Systems Land Agent, and through the labor management process, we converted the position back to a staff position and changed the title to reflect the duties better and hopefully support the recruiting process on that position. The second change is to the GIS Data Administrator position. We are recommending the title be changed to a Senior Systems Administrator and reclassified to Range 23. And a recent evaluation of that job description determined that some of the duties were being handled in a different department. And so we have added some additional duties in the new job description, kind of based around cybersecurity, and then have the reclassification to Range 23. So with those two changes, the district is asking for your adoption of Resolution Number 2261-23, rescinding Resolution 2256-22. Are there any questions?
No, nothing for you.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve Resolution 2261-23, establishing titles and monthly salary ranges for staff employees?
Move to approve as presented.
Okay. All in favor of Resolution 2261-23?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Next item C is
upcoming commissioner vacant. Has that, and yes, we do have a vacancy here.
I'm going to start off on this one,
okay,
if you don't mind. So I sent you – so Commissioner Pascal submitted his resignation notice to us last week. with an effective date of March 2nd. So I believe that's Thursday of this week. So the two remaining commissioners have 90 days to name a replacement commissioner. If we fail to meet that deadline, then it gets handed over to the county commissioners to make the selection. So the commissioner that you select will fulfill the remaining term until the next election, which is November of 24. So he or she will fulfill a two-year term until that time. And then the person that runs for the next election would then fill the remaining term of Commissioner Pascal, which would be an additional 2 years, so that it keeps the commissioners on a six-year cycle. The candidate that fills the District 2 position must reside in District 2 and be a registered voter. And so due to the truncated time frame, I provided you guys with a packet of information that I emailed out to you today. And I apologize I didn't get it out into the board packet, but it was kind of last-minute notice that we received the vacancy.
Okay, thank you.
So in the packet that I gave you, I give you a
first page here, history on the appointment and vacancy of
commissioners in the past. And then the second page would be a press release that we send to the media and to the county auditor's office notifying them of the vacancy. I gave them all that stuff, Nicole.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the press does not officially know that Pascal has resigned?
I'm assuming they know now.
Okay.
So the press release is included in here that would go out notifying the public of the vacancy and sort of what the process is. The third page in here is if there's any interested candidates in District 2, it goes over how they would apply for the position and the information required to be submitted to fulfill the vacancy. And then page 4 in here is a list of interview questions that staff has proposed. And the majority of these are the ones that we used the last time that this happened, which was to fill Commissioner Hafner's vacated position. And then the last page here is a motion that I need from the board today in order for staff to move forward on the process. Because of the time frame here, I need to go over some dates with you guys and make sure that they all work for your schedule. So the posting would take place on March 3rd, and we would collect applications from potential candidates through March 23rd at 5 p.m. here at the main office. Staff would then compile all of the applications and submit a packet to Commissioner Waddell and Hayes the week of March 27th, so you have time to review them. And then on April 3rd, staff is proposing that we hold a special meeting, which would be an executive session with staff, the committee, to discuss the candidates' qualifications. And just note that whenever we have an executive session, commissioners are not allowed to rank or discuss your preferences regarding the applicants. That all has to be done in a public meeting. It's just a time for staff to advise the commissioners and allow you to ask any questions. And then on April 4th and 5th, we would schedule interviews with the candidates that you select to interview. And that would be a special meeting. I believe that's a Tuesday and Wednesday that would be open to the public. And we would go through the questions and interview each applicant in those meetings. And then if necessary, we would hold additional interviews on April 10th and 11th, depending on the number of applications that we receive. We might not be able to get through all of them those first 2 days. So in the packet, I gave you all the information. I emailed it to you earlier. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have on the process. But in order for staff to move forward and start working on the vacancy and getting all this information out, I do need a motion on that. But before we get there, I had a correspondence with Commissioner Hayes today, and he had some good suggestions about adding some additional questions in here that I think we'd like to incorporate. So when you make the motion, I will need you to amend it to include those questions. So I'll pause there in case you guys have any questions.
Yeah, I can make the motion here. Let me make a note to myself here so I don't screw this up.
One question, his ideas is when we will get those, his ideas that he came up with.
Yes, let me go over those real quick. So in the correspondence, Ken and I, he had a suggestion to, on the, if you go to page 3 in your packet, this is the vacancy application instructions for potential candidates. So first, on the questions, he had a suggestion to add the word briefly in front of questions 1, 2, and 3 to make sure that the applications are succinct and within maybe one or two pages long rather than really long application. We talked back and forth about either putting the word briefly in there or maybe asking candidates to limit it to, say, 500 words per question. And then – go ahead.
Was that, is that it?
No. So, and then also on that page 3 there, we would be adding a fourth question. That had to do with making clear that the position is nonpartisan and that do you believe as a commissioner you can make decisions without partisan influence with an open mind based on facts and testimony presented? So that would be a question 4 on the application that would be added in addition to the 3 that are already there.
Okay, it's good. All right. Well, I don't guess you have any further discussion.
No, those were.
And you made a motion, I believe I heard you say that.
I can make the motion. So I move to appoint a staff committee comprised of Sean Rivington, Lori Carter, Jamie Spence, and Nicole Hartman for the purpose of delegating administrative tasks related to filling a commissioner vacancy, including but not limited to creating a notice of vacancy, advertising the vacancy, creating an application, receiving and tracking applications, creating interview questions, and scheduling interviews. The commissioners further accept the interview questions, news release, and application instructions as presented and as amended during the course of the meeting.
Sounds good. I'll make a move to support that.
So you second it. I made the motion.
Okay. I'll second it. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion has been approved.
Thank you, commissioners, and we will start working on that. By law, Commissioner Pascott does have until the end of the day on March 2nd to rescind, so we won't take any action until that time has passed.
Okay.
And I intend to take the language from the these documents here to do a legal ad in the classifieds, and also to do a display ad in the media, and then we'll advertise it on our website through social media. And I will be notifying on Thursday after the end of the day, I'll be notifying the county division of elections as well and get that ball rolling. We went extensively through this process before because there's a lot of OPNA topics here and did a really good job of just making sure we were on the up and up through the whole process. So, and we've guided a couple other PUDs through this now. So what this allows us to do is to be able to be doing just these administrative type tasks in the background rather than having you guys have to schedule a series of special meetings this week to be going over every single individual little thing. And then ultimately you guys retain the decision-making authority. Do you have any questions about the process itself?
No, I think it was really well explained. And frankly, I appreciate staff stepping up.
Yeah, I do too. Do we need any motions for the
No, we're good. We'll get working on it.
Yeah, if you're good with these documents, then
we'll add the changes that Ken and I discussed, and we'll get it out to the public on Friday.
Okay.
So during this appointment, as usual, then next May would be the candidate filing period for that, and then there's the situation with the short and the long term again.
So yeah.
I will get Shuna on this, and I think that's –
I did have one question was wondering about something. I didn't get all the way through the RCW. I looked briefly at both 54 and 42 where it talks about nonpartisan vacancy. But I was curious, do we have any ability to question candidates about their intent to only fill the short term or the short and long term of the first section and then run? Or can we ask those kinds of questions?
We can. We've done that in the past. Even if they say yes, though, doesn't mean they're going to, because things can change when they get into the positions.
I'm not sure it matters, but it would be nice to know. I mean, I think ideally we would have a candidate that we want to appoint who intends to run for continuity. But I can see logic in being interested in those who are just willing to build a position until the election. So I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any restrictions against
it. No, there isn't a restriction on that.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
thanks, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Next item is BPA post-2028 contract discussions. Anybody have any new insights, discussions?
I think John and I know John's got some stuff on the WAPEG meeting from Thursday of last week that talks about Tier 2 and some options that are coming up in the next contract that BPA is proposing.
John, before you start, you had sent me links and I had found the emails with the Zoom invite. I know it was an in-person meeting, but also a hybrid meeting. I could not get in. I mean, I opened the Zoom meeting and it was just blank. I don't know. Do I need some special
authority? No, this one on Thursday was via Teams. Maybe you had the wrong link.
No, I said Zoom. It was Teams.
Oh, okay.
I had Teams on my laptop. So.
Okay.
I mean, Teams opened up. It was just blank. I never entered the meetings.
Huh.
That's rather strange. Do you get the emails from Ryan?
That's the link I used rather than the one you sent.
We'll check into that.
That might be me. Might be operator error.
No, it's not uncommon for things like that to happen. So we'll see what we can do to look into it.
All right.
Okay, so basically the reason I wanted to mention this WAPEG meeting is pretty consequential, with significant changes in new initiatives or proposals from BPA. Now I'm going to go over some of the topics real quick. I want to focus on what is called the above rate period high water mark Tier 2 options that were presented. But first, there was a quarterly business review. And they do believe an RDC is again likely for next year, although it will not be as significant as the previous year, primarily due to lower snowpack. I think it's running in around 90, low 90s. There's also a discussion on the Western Resource Adequacy, and FERC came back with a requirement that all participants, all 20% participants, have to be part of what they call a market-based rate authority, and some of the participants aren't. So for all participants to proceed, some of them will have to register and become a market-based rate authority. And we don't know if some will drop out because of that. There was a brief discussion on the BP24 rate case. There was suit filed in opposition to that by several tribes or intertribal agencies, as well as
the Great Home.
Yeah, the Idaho Conservation League. Yeah. And then the main thing, there were several provider choice topics, and I'm going to focus on the Tier 2. So basically, BPA is setting up a path for what they call the long-term Tier 1 rate and the short-term tier 2 rate and the short-term Tier 2 rate, plus dedicated resources and other options. So the biggest difference between the two paths, the long-term rate will be established or attempt to be established as a cost base for bringing on predominantly non-carbon sources over the course of the contract. And I understand this to be BPA taking a leading role with resource acquisition, not just short-term market purchases. In addition to that, or related to that, there is the ability to make a one-time switch between the two scenarios. And they have also declared that local distribution and generation up to 1 megawatt can be added without dedication for serving load, which is pretty important. So basically, if it's local within our service territory, and we were to add a generation load, our customers, a generation load, they could go up to 1 megawatt, and there would be no RSS cost. So basically, that would make some generation in our area more competitive or even more competitive than generation, let's say, for solar in eastern Washington and Oregon. That was $70 a megawatt hour. So it makes it more competitive here than potentially eastern Washington. If we were going to do things in eastern Washington, then that would have to follow the other path. So it's it would be a combination of local resources, 1 megawatt and less, plus a DPA long-term share rate that's based on cost. The other path, which is more closely aligned with the current Tier 2, would basically have a short-term Tier 2 rate based on rate cases, and we expect that going into the new contract to be relatively high based on current condition. They would also have a vintage rate and also the ability to serve new dedicated resources for serving Tier 2. Now, I expect that we're going to go into the new contract with approximately 4 average megawatts of Tier 2 load. And based on my presentation a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, we expect over the course of the contract to see a growth of about 16 average megawatts if vehicle electrification takes off when we follow our conservation potential assessment with respect to cost-effective conservation. So, you know, we're going to start growing here at some point in a few years. We've been declining. We kind of leveled out. It bumped up a little bit with COVID. It will probably be slow growing that will increase as we go into 2030, on to 2040, primarily through vehicle electrification. So I would encourage everyone to take a close look at the packet that was sent out with WAPAG with a focus on the above rate period high watermark. There's a lot of good information in there, and there's other good information, but this is the most significant change that we've seen in BPA proposals since the start of the provider of choice. It does look like we have viable options, two paths that kind of made sense to most of the BPA customers. Any questions?
Anything else? Okay, I didn't have any input on 2028 stuff this past week as well. Okay, the next item is the revised agenda item, and this has to do with the Lower Snake presentation that I gave last week as a private citizen. And part of the, you know, process was to have an open process with as many people as possible. And we, can everybody hear me okay? No, can't hear me. All right. And so okay, I'm just going to hold it, stick it right there. Is that better? Guys, hear me a little better? Okay. So the workshop we held was a public workshop. And in it, I supplied various summary documents of government materials that showed the pros and cons or the pluses and minuses of the Lower Snake River dams in terms of their power output, and their impacts on fisheries and their impacts on navigation and so forth. We had well over 60 people attend, so from a process standpoint, I think we met the measure that we gave everybody a good chance, and a lot of people participated. And by the way, Ken, at any time you want to inject or say something, I'm not giving a brief here. I'm just talking. So I note that some of the people that made comments are pretty well known and pretty very intelligent when it comes to the Corps of Engineers and Bonneville Power, especially the Corps, salmon biologist, policy specialist, and so forth. And so anyway, what we promised was that we would vet this with this material and then question whether we should rescind Resolution 2194-21, which was passed very quickly without this kind of process where we had the public involved and we had a lot of participation and an open process. And so I guess, Ken, I don't know about you, but from what I hear, what I heard from the crowd and what I read in the material, I wrote a lot of the materials, but I mean, what I'm hearing from people,
that's my medicine alarm.
There certainly was a lot of interest in terms of especially rescinding this resolution that basically supported the Lower Snake Dams. And so that one might be considered a first order of business and a second order of business should there be a resolution to not support the dams. In other words, basically say we don't support the Snake River dams. And that could be that could range from saying, well, we want them breached or we just don't want we don't want resources directed toward them if at all possible, or we could say quite a few things. As a motion, I'll make a motion that we have the staff prepare a motion to rescind this resolution 2194, and then schedule a meeting that at the next meeting a further discussion that we would talk about should we go any further with this process. In other words, should we go for some sort of resolution that shows non-support or there's a lot of things we could say to do that, but along those lines. But, you know, clearly the first order of business is to rescind this existing resolution. Ken, any comments? Or?
So I understand. I think what I'm hearing is the request to have staff prepare a motion to consider rescinding the existing resolution at the next regular meeting. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I think to be a little bit more clear, it's we want the motion is to and Sean, you can help me with the nomenclature of this.
Yeah, no, I think what Commissioner Wendell is asking for is staff to prepare a resolution that would rescind the previous resolution.
And bring that to us at the next meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
That's what I was trying to
say. Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you. So.
Yeah, I think that's the proper process.
Okay.
That we're going to consider.
Do you have some discussion about this, or are you willing to second the motion, or it
So are we looking for a motion to direct staff to bring something back?
Yeah, I think what he's looking for is a motion to direct staff to draft a resolution that would rescind the previous resolution.
All right. So moved.
Okay. I'll second the motion. All in favor, say any further discussion?
No, I think we'll continue discussion when the motion to rescind comes back to us.
Okay, good, thanks. All in favor of rescinding resolution 2194-21, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? None. Okay, so
I have a clarifying question. The motion you just made was to rescind resolution 2194-21, and Ken seconded that. Is that so? We won't need to come back with a resolution if you're just going to rescind it in the minutes.
We won't have to come back for a resolution for what? For a new for
I think we need to put it on the table at a regular meeting.
I'm sorry.
Because the motion that was just made was to rescind the resolution, but as I understand it, you're asking staff to come to the next meeting with the resolution drafted to rescind the previous resolution. Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah, just clarifying.
So do we need to rescind
the resolution? We just no, I don't think you need, I think I understand what you need, and I can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and Ken, correct me if our line, if we're not thinking the same here, is and that they we would schedule at the next meeting a discussion, a further discussion about whether we should
put a motion on the table and discuss it.
Okay.
So that's a motion. Staff will have a resolution for the next meeting.
Okay. All right. That concludes that business item. correspondence and communications. Any?
Yeah. So the first thing, this Wednesday, March 1st, we have the online training with Jurassic Parliament from 9 to noon, and I believe T sent out Zoom invites to both of you today for that, so that will happen this Wednesday at 9. And then at our last meeting, there was a discussion about, I believe from Commissioner Hayes, about staff contacting Melanie Roberts at P&L regarding a presentation that would be take place at our utility. After some back and forth dialogue with Melanie, she's going to get staff from both labs in Richland and SQIM to come. And so for coordinating schedules, she's looking at doing a presentation here sometime in May and June. So as it gets closer, we'll firm up the date on that, but it'll be early summer, it looks like. She did ask us to prepare in advance some questions that will aid her in the development of the presentation. And so staff is preparing those questions that we plan to get back to her after the next board meeting. So if either of you have questions that you'd like specific to P&L, please provide those to me no later than the next board meeting, the first one in March. And then we'll get those over to Melanie and her team so they can coordinate schedules.
Okay. Are you going to send something to kind of reminds me.
Yeah, we can send you guys an email about it.
Okay. Yeah. I would appreciate it.
No problem.
Any other correspondence or communications?
No, that was it for today.
So that'd be by the 13th, right?
Yeah, that's the first. Yeah. Yes, the 13th.
Before.
Okay. Commissioner reports. Needless to say, I was pretty busy putting together my briefing. Took up most of my time last week, so I don't think I made it to any other meetings. Ken?
I did attend some meetings.
Maybe I did too, come to think of it.
First off, and I notified Sean of this earlier today because of I thought maybe a potential conflict with a vacancy filling, but I have a the first thing on my list to announce today is that I'm taking a short vacation towards the end of March, 3/23 through 3/27. Be back late 27th. But it doesn't sound like that should be a problem at this point.
No,
I'll be distributing that day, and I'll be able to see the packet.
Yeah.
So I did attend the second round of WAPUTA training, as well as all the committee meetings and the board meetings the week before last. I also participated in the Day on the Hill, the coffee and barbecue, and he's going to give Nicole a shout-out for doing a great job with the booth up there. I didn't know that was a thing. It was pretty cool to see her up there showing off her PD. And with my first barbecue, it was pretty impressive, pretty overwhelming. A lot of people, a lot of LAs like to come in and get fed because they don't make any money. So, but it was good. I think there was a pretty good legislative turnout as well. Did not see our legislators there, but even though they were on the list, they were probably busy trying to get bills moved out of their committees. I also attended, you know, all the committees, water, telecom, energy, mostly it was legislative updates. All the notes I took are now out of date because the state ball sent us more updates on that. So you see that in the weekly Friday updates. One thing that popped up in telecom And later in that week, or last week in the NODC meeting, is the broadband action team action plans that are being solicited from the counties with very little time to respond. And what I was hearing at the WAPUTA meeting and at the NODC board meeting last week is, you know, there just really isn't enough time to properly respond. I was concerned when I first heard that because I thought it was a requirement. It's not a requirement. It's just an opportunity for the counties to provide input for their local area. There is going to be some, there is funding, state funding through the Washington State University Extension programs, and my understanding is the NODC's been maybe in cooperation with the county. I don't know if our folks here at this end have had any input on that yet, but we may get asked to provide some help with that action plan. There is about $900 million expected in federal funding for broadband with up to a couple $100 million in state matching, probably rolled out in $50 million increments over a several year period. That was pretty much the highlights. One thing, the board meeting, the annual WAPUTA board meeting, and I don't know if we participate in that or anybody from here goes, but it's not going to be in December anymore because of the weather issues last year, so they've moved it to April of 2024. So put that in your calendar if you're planning on going. That's it.
All right, thanks, Kent. Yeah, I failed to mention that I was at some of the WAPUTA meeting. I was not an official designee on some of these committees, but I did attend the Energy and Water Committee and listen to some of the legislative issues that are being worked. None of them seem to be high-level stuff that's, that our staff isn't already taking care of to keep us in out of trouble.
Hey, Jim, one thing I forgot to mention, I mean, I was down there almost all that week and through Friday to meet with our LD24 legislators, Representative Therringer and Chapman, to talk about the fish passage issue. And we actually were pretty well received. There were five of the counties impacted, representative with Liz Anderson from WAPUTA. We sat in a meeting both with Therringer and Chapman, and I thought the response and reception was quite good. In fact, they were talking about creating a program to fund, for the next couple, two or three bienniums, whatever it would take to meet the requirements. Afterwards, I found out from Liz Anderson that WAPUTA has a hard stance on not rating the Public Works Assistance account, which is where Representative Therringer thought they could create a new program to fund these, which was news to me. My first thought was file under good to know, you know, before they put all this trouble. So I don't know. I followed up with Liz on a letter. After reading, I felt like I should have known this somehow, and sure enough, I found one little blurb about that in some packet information I got on my first WAPUTA training. So I followed up with an email letter to Liz saying I don't really believe that this would qualify as grading that fund for inappropriate uses, and I'm not really sure where that ended up. But, so that was news to me, and I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I will follow up with Representative Farringer in the next week to see if I can bring anything else.
Well, Ken, if I may ask, is this something that that BPA is asking for in terms of?
No, this is from WSDOT, from Washington State Department of Transportation, unfunded mandates to.
Okay, I got that.
Culvert,
right?
Fish
passage, okay.
And a lot of them involve relocating utilities. Water in some cases and sewer. The water impact's greater for us.
Yeah, all right.
Trying to get some funding.
Yeah, well, there's some ways to play some games with BPA's money if they're willing, but they're not willing. So I don't think we'll get very far with that. Okay. where are we? Commissioner, staff reports?
No staff reports today.
Okay. Board action items for staff.
Yeah, I have the draft resolution to rescind resolution 219421, and then I'll send you an email reminder about the P&L questions and comments.
OK. Okay. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Any public comments at this point? Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Brian Gratt. I live with 245 Jake Way in District 2. I have a couple things I want to talk about. You're probably familiar with the potential hazards associated with geomagnetic storms caused by excessive solar activity, coronal mass ejections, sending high energy particles into our atmosphere and causing ground induced currents, which potentially could damage the grid, transformers, conductors, et cetera. So originally, we're in the midst of approaching the solar maximum, which will be in 2025. And the original predictions regarding this cycle were that it was going to be about the same as the last and relatively mild. But unfortunately, they're seeing a much more robust kind of activity going on, and it's risen to the level that it's of concern to Department of Energy, Homeland Security, FEMA, et cetera. So my question is to what extent do you understand the potential preparations? Are there safety measures that can be taken? Are there established lines of communication wherein you can be notified of a approaching increased potential threat caused by increased geomagnetic activity? I know that we have satellites that monitor the solar activity and can essentially be used as a early warning, so to speak, kind of like a tsunami warning. And because, of course, our astronauts serving space have to be able to take shelter into the protected parts of the station to avoid potential radiation poisoning. So that's a concern. It's kind of one of those things, if we don't already have equipment or funds to deal with that, it could be problematic for doing anything at all about it. Yet there is a grave threat, if depending on how strong these storms are, to not just this area, but to the overall grid, including BPA. So I'd be curious also, when you look into this, if you could ask what measures they have implemented or are willing to implement.
Okay. Brian, that's good. We'll make a note of that, and the staff will respond back. Got to answer your question. It's too complex. I've got to answer right here.
Oh, sure. The other thing I wanted to note was I remember John Purvis, in a previous presentation, spoke to the issue of battery storage, and that the PUD had a project online for that, almost shovel ready. Am I wrong about that? So if that's the case, I would also ask that you consider touring the Snohomish PUD perhaps as a benchmark, because they have a system that is very efficient, state of the art, and they have a lot of information about permitting and also working with the fire department to deal with specific issues related to fire hazards caused by battery fires. These are lithium ion batteries. And I also ask that you consider the feasibility of establishing an associated microgrid for the purposes of serving the emergency response population, police, fire, and whatever other agencies we have in the county to deal with things like major disruptions to power. Arlington, the Snohomish PUD has their microgrid there, and you can tour it. So you could kind of get an idea what's involved and what it might take to establish one here. And then lastly, I just want to commend the commissioners and staff for taking a transparent view of how to go about dealing with resolutions. Unfortunately, that's something I think the public was pretty much in the dark about, I know I was surprised when some of these resolutions came about from the PUD. I just wondered how in the heck did that happen? Not getting any prior notice to talk about them seemed to be kind of like unfair, to say the least. So I'm glad that, you're going about it in a more transparent, open manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, any further?
Yeah, we had got Christine some, Reed was had her hand raised.
Okay.
Ken, please mute yourself.
Do we have a mute issue here, or?
I saw Christine's hand up, but.
Ken Rendo.
Oh.
Ken, go ahead.
Yes, hello, Commissioners. Kenneth Rendo, Port Angeles. First of all, for these meetings online, could we be let out of the waiting room into the meeting prior to the start? I missed the first couple items. Small technical thing, but thanks for the help. Also, Commissioner Waddell, your presentation previously in Lower Snake River Dams was very informative. I thank you for that. And lastly, something that came to mind, if we were to install a large battery storage system, could this be considered not generation, or would it be considered generation? And would that depend on use? Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments from the public? You've already had your chance. All right. It better be quick, Brian.
So addressing that issue of 1 megawatt of generation without any penalties, I would urge the commission and the PUD in general to consider that a fair portion of that be appropriated and considered for solar rooftop installation in the county, and whatever incentives could be instituted to encourage people to contribute in that regard. I think it's not only a benefit to the individual or the family involved for saving, but it's a conservation measure and one of the easiest ways to prevent having to build further infrastructure to provide more energy for the load.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Okay. I don't see any more hands, do I? No.
Doesn't look like it.
Okay. So we don't have any more public comments. This meeting is hereby adjourned.